Very quickly, this is the first part. So much to say tonight, but I am going to rush as fast as I can. Marriage is an invention of God. Nobody invented marriage but God. And God designed marriage to be the closest thing to heaven on earth. Put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, in the paradise. But today, marriage and relationship offers one of the worst forms of pain that can be seen on earth. The pain of marriage, the pain of marital failure, the pain of marital relationship, is one of the worst forms of pains we know today. Every pastor hearing the sound of my voice knows that marital counseling is a major bulk of ministry counseling. Either counseling to get married, counseling for relationship, counseling of those who got married, and so on and so forth. I'd like you to take note of this statistic. It will amaze you. That 49% of marriages in America end in divorce. Literally 50%. And the same statistic is true currently around Africa. 18% of marriages will not do fifth marriage anniversary. Fifth. 18% won't reach fifth anniversary. That is, 82% will reach fifth anniversary. 48% will never celebrate 15th anniversary. That is, only 52% of marriages may celebrate their 15th wedding anniversary. What does that mean to us? There is a high rate of marital failure. And the tragedy is, this statistic is not different from what obtains among born-again Christians. Actually, it has been said that marriages among Buddhism last longer than even Christian marriages. Terrible indictment. Added to that, we live in a world today where traditional marriage is in danger. Primarily, a first and foremost danger we have today is the danger of multiplied prostitution. And many people on the assignment of literally ruining homes by snatching people's husbands and wives. So the traditional marriage as it is endangered. But I like to take you back to the Garden of Eden. Why was marriage ordained? Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." Four reasons why the marriage was ordained, and I will say two in this service. Number one, marriage was ordained for the betterment of the couple. It is not good means it is better if they are together. For life to be better for the man, for life to be better for the woman, God ordained marriage. Number two, for the filling of vacuums in the lives of the couple. For filling of life's vacuums. Every human being has an area of his life or the other where he is deficient. There is a vacuum, there is a void. There is something lacking. So God brought a man to fill the space in your life. God brought the woman to fill a space in your life. I have the ability of remembering dates and all manner of things. But it is possible that I can put my shoe somewhere and I'm not aware where it is. And my wife say, I saw it yesterday. And she will go and pull it from there. And then she would ask me for a date that is so easy to know, and she won't know. In many ways, there are things in me that she feels in and things in her life that I feel in. So God ordained marriage for that purpose. In stepping in further, let me submit to you that the tragedy of Adam, the failure of Adam, was basically a relationship failure. And I will give you four reasons. And that is why the marriage ordinance is such a very important ordinance. And again, I will give you two of those reasons in this service. Why did Adam fail as a man and made the whole of humanity to fail? He failed because he failed as a husband. Why? Two reasons. Number one, Adam failed to take his place as the head of the family. How did I know? He failed to take his place and left a vacuum for the serpent to engage his wife. The question is, where was Adam when the serpent was talking to Eve? What did he do? How did he organize his life and his home that made his wife to be entering such an important conversation with a stranger? Adam lost his place as husband. He lost his place as the leader of the home, and failure ensued. I want to say at this moment that most failures on earth start from failure in the home, failure in the family, failure in the nation. Most of the time is a product of failure in the homes. Is somebody here today? How did I know that Adam, that there was a failure in relationship? In Genesis chapter 3 verse 11 to 12, this will amaze you. When God told Adam, who told you that you are naked? Have you eaten of the tree that I commanded you that you should not eat? Adam said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me gave me of the tree and I did eat. When God said, this is your wife, and he said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, which means you are one, something transpired later. There was a failure of bonding. That is the second reason for Adam's failure. Bonding between his wife and himself failed. She is no longer bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh now. She is the woman you gave to be with me. In other words, number one, it is your fault, God, for giving her to be with me. Number two, we are living under the same roof, but we are not together. Is God speaking to somebody here? The woman that thou gavest to be with me. Every time a man and his wife become strangers living under the same roof, a failure has started. And in Africa today, in Nigeria today, and even in this congregation today, there are so many strangers under the same roof that are called husband and wife. There are so many people living together but not together. They answer the same surname. They bring forth children, but they are never together. The woman that thou gavest to be with me gave me the tree and I ate. That was the failure of Adam. My dear brothers and sisters, it was a failure of bonding. And I pray that will not be your portion. In the name of Jesus Christ. The worst thing that can happen to any man is to be living with a woman he is not one with. The worst thing that can happen to any woman is to be connected with a man that you are not united with. Take note of this. When God wanted to create, he said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make an help meet with him. Number one, it was God who noticed Adam's need for a wife, not Adam. The meaning of that is, God is more interested in marriage than man. It was God who noticed Adam's need for a wife, not Adam. It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make and help me. It was not Adam who went to God and said, can you see that my life is empty? Give me a wife. No. It was God who noticed it. The meaning of that is, God must be allowed to take his place. Somebody say amen. Number two, God had to put the man to sleep so he could do a thorough work without interruption. He put the man to sleep to do a thorough work without interruption. The meaning of that is, concerning the matter of marriage, God must be allowed to do a thorough work. There are so many people using their eyes to find wife, using their senses to find husband. But Adam was asleep so that he could not tell God how to manufacture the nose or the hips or the back, whatever, so that God can do what he wants and say, take, this is good for you. And the man said, you are correct. There are so many people too awake to get anything from God. Is God speaking to anybody here? If you want God to walk, man must go to rest. You want God to walk on your marital matter, on the matter of your ministry and destiny, you must allow yourself to go to rest. Third thing I want to take you to take note of is, God took a rib from the man and made a woman. And when he wanted to make a man, he took dust. Man is raw material and woman is refined material. He didn't go back to the earth again when it was time to create the woman. After he finished creating man, what he needed for the man was inside the man. Woman, you are refined material. Don't make yourself raw. Am I communicating? There is a finish about women. There is a touch of perfection. Don't be a tomboy. Don't struggle to be like a man. Be feminine. Don't be masculine. Allow the rawness with man. When a girl begins to walk scatteredly like a woman, she loses her femininity. Unlike a woman. Am I speaking to somebody here? When she's everywhere like a man, or just talking anyhow and just playing anyhow, she loses her dignity and femininity. Allow the finish that God made you to be to manifest. Is God speaking to somebody here? Say amen. Say amen. Say a louder amen. Look at a woman near you, say, woman, be a woman. So that we men can be men. Number four. Every man and every woman should be sensitive enough to know the bone of their bones. Every man, every woman should be close enough to God. So that when you see the bone of your bone and the flesh of your flesh, there is no confusion. When Adam woke up from the sleep, he did not need any advertisement. God brought the woman, and all of a sudden, spontaneously, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Where was he talking from? from the very presence of God. It is the presence of God that fuels sensitivity. I like you to stand so strong in His presence, not struggling to make a choice for yourself. And from that presence, you will hear, you will see, and you will know clearly. Say a louder amen. Amen. Finally, you say, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh, and cleave unto his wife. The final point is, in order to cleave, you must leave. A man must leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. There can be no cleaving until there is a living. And some people are asking me, what do you mean, Pastor? You see, the meaning of that is, there are many people who have married, but they have not left. You ain't saying nothing. There are many who have married, but they have not left. The voice of their friend is still affecting their marriage. The voice of their mother, their father, is inside the marriage. They deal with their wives and husbands according to what somebody is saying. And I'd like you to write this statement down. External interference is the enemy of internal coherence. External interference is the enemy of internal coherence. There are many marriages that are victims of external interference. So it is affecting the coherence of the home. You can hear the mother's voice in the woman, in Madame's voice. Her mother's voice is inside her voice. In fact, at times it is the man whose mother is controlling the home. Some friends. Many marriages are not bonded because a third party is still talking inside. Beloved, this is very, very important. Now, in going further, before we see how we can draw the curtain, it is important to note that before a home can be built, wisdom is on ground. To have a solid concrete home, wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 1, the Bible said, wisdom has builded her house. So it is wisdom that builds a house, that builds a home. Proverbs chapter 24 and in verse 3 to 4, true wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. You cannot build a family, you can't build a future, you can't build a home without wisdom. And hear me, wise men and women build, foolish men and women tear apart. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 1, look at that. Every wise woman builded her house, it includes wise man too. But every foolish woman, every foolish one, but the foolish, both men and women, plucked it down with their hands. There are people, by the time they have behaved today, you are wondering what is their alternative. There are those threatening themselves with divorce after every little matter. I walk out of this home. Am I in prison? Every wise woman builded her house, and the foolish plucked it down with her hands. So there are many, by their very actions, homes are being torn apart. That shall not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. But the wise people, what do they do? Proverbs chapter 31 verse 10. He said, who can find a virtuous woman? These are the home builders. For her price is far above rubies. There are many women, but very few wives. Beloved, many men, but very few husbands. Tonight, there is a mantle coming upon you. For those who are yet to be married, in the next 20 years, if Jesus tarries to come, you will give a testimony of solid marriage. What are the benefits of marital harmony? Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9. He said, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Number one is for the full release of potential. It doesn't matter the anointing you carry. You cannot see the fullness of it if you have a bad wife. It doesn't matter the wisdom you have. You cannot see full result if you are married to a bad husband. Ay, 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 ay. The day you chose to marry a bad wife, it was that day you decided to limit your potential. The day you chose to marry a bad husband, that was the day you signed for limited expression. The thin day, but no come out. You carried more grace as a single than as a married person. Disaster. You carried more manifestation as a single than as a married person. For the full release of potential. Number two, for the mutual sharing of life's resources. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and in verse 11, he said, again, if two lie together, then they can have heat. But how can one be warm alone? For the mutual sharing of life's resources. There is something you have, you share with your wife. Something your wife has, she shares with you. For the mutual sharing of life's resources. Number three, for the proper development of children. Malachi chapter 2 verse 14 to 15. He said, yet he say, wherefore, because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. Why? And why did he make one? Yet has he the residue of the spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. Am I in communication tonight? For the proper development of children. The quality of the home determines the quality of the children. Because atmosphere affects three things. The atmosphere of the home will affect their attitude generally. It will affect their aptitude or the giftings inside them. It will affect their altitude, how far they rise. Attitude, aptitude, altitude. A child from a scattered home cannot achieve as much as a child from a harmonious home. Except that child is ruggedly determined. Are you ready for this? I'll reserve some for the second service. When the home is good, the children look forward. They look forward to a home like what they grew inside. The other day I was reading my wife's daily declaration, and she did not know. I was peeping. Look at it. I read it. All my wives, all my children shall marry pure. All my daughters will marry husbands like their father. And she wrote so many. I'm better. Husbands like their father, I'm better. My son will marry wife like me, I'm better. And declare it. There's something to look forward to. Where the home is scattered, there is no model. Oh, yes, sir. Nothing to look forward to. I read a statistic today, a research, that children that pass through divorce, now, that is not your case in Jesus' name. Amen. Because you are a child of God. But under normal circumstances, children that pass through divorce, they are 56% of them will end in divorce. That is minus God. Am I communicating? Many of them vow not to marry at all. Others are suspicious of men when they see them. This man may be like my father who was beating my mother every day. They are just suspicious of relationships. They have faulty relationships that are not working because of what they came out of. Many end in jail. So every time you are shouting on your wife, you are injuring the destiny of your children. Every time you are rebelling against your husband, you are damaging the future of your children. Every time you act like a stone that does not have an affection, you hate you, you don't love your wife, you don't love your children, you just move like that, you are just destroying the future of another generation. That is how many people succeeded in damaging the future of children. They are afraid to marry. They are afraid for a man to get near to them. Or them getting near to a lady. They just feel like, and then they said, for many of them, they think that divorce is a normal thing. So they enter relationship with the possibility of divorce in their mind. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Even if you don't want the marriage to work for your sake, please let it work for the sake of the next generation. There is nothing that you can do for children as much as when you love their mother and they are aware. It's bigger for them than money. There is nothing, especially the boys. If you hate their mother, the boys. I counseled one young boy ran away from his father's house. The father divorced his mother and then kept him. And the father divorced his mother from the advice of his father's mother. That's his grandmother. The grandmother said, send this woman away. That's the man's father, the man's mother. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And the man was raising the boy until the boy ran away from Port Harcourt. Came to Abuja to meet his mother. I met him on the line here one day. And we're talking. I said, what happened? He said, it's my father. It's my father. That he's just telling me many things against my mother. That she's a witch, she's a bad woman. Then the boy said, one day I told him, I said, excuse me, sir. You love your mother and you want me to hate my mother. Is it possible? Came and met his mother who was struggling here to continue sponsoring his school, and he feels cool with himself. Love their mother, they value you. Respect their father, they value you. Be rebellious, they despise you. Hate their mother as if you are an animal, they hate you as if you are an animal. Benefits of money in the home, number 4, is for guaranteed access to God in prayer. Likewise, see husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. There is a way you and your wife will live like cat and dog, and God won't hear you. Fast for 70 days, for where? Turn into a prayer wizard. For where? God's servant Bishop Wale Oke told a story. A woman came to him, I think it was in Kano, trusting God for the fruit of the womb for 13 years. And no show. And all of a sudden, as he was praying for the woman, he got a word of knowledge. And he told the woman, go and submit to your husband. She submitted. Bam. Barrenness was broken. There is a way you behave in the marital context that prayers can't be answered. If the marriage is not working, answered prayer is a challenge. Except if you are the partner not responsible, it's not your fault that it's not working. But as long as you are in that marriage and you have a hand in it not working, prayer answer, Iba.
Number five, for the frustration of evil activity. James chapter 3 verse 16 said, anywhere there is strife, there is confusion and every evil work. Anywhere you see people quarreling all the time. This is a terrible story, but I'll tell you. Are you ready to listen to that? Terrible. A man who was a pastor brought a child to me. Child was about 13 years. He said, Pastor, this is the third one we are about to bury. Third one. Third child. I prayed my heart out. I could feel breath in the child. Yet, the child was not alive. I did everything. The pastor told me, sir, it's not the first time, but that woman, my wife, she is the most stubborn thing I have ever seen under heaven. He said, the last thing, I came back home and saw the security man in immorality with his wife. Rebellion combined with iniquity, combined with everything, and then the atmosphere is so terrible, and then the devil came and did bam, bam, bam. No resistance. No devil will have license into your family. That amen is too paralyzed. Lift your right hand and say, in the name of Jesus, my relationship must work. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. How can I finish this message without telling you the wisdom of relationship? I have 10 of them. And because I don't have the time, I will tell you 5 of them. And I say the 5 in the second service. Number 1. You want a relationship that is successful. Understand your partner. The wife you are married to, do you know her? Jacob slept with somebody from night till morning and didn't know who she was. It was in the morning that he realized it was not Rachel but Leah. Even if they were identical twins, is the tonality of the voice not different? Different bodies have body fragrance. This guy was not aware till morning. It is an indictment on masculinity. Many men are married to women they don't know. And many women are married to men they don't know. You saw money and you married money. You don't know the man. You saw face and you married beauty. You don't know who is inside the face. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Beloved brother, that's the worst tragedy that can happen. I remember a music minister married somebody who was also like music person. I saw them after 1 or 2 weeks. He said, Pastor, I didn't know she was like this. I thought she was more spiritual than this. Oh Lord. Married to a stranger. Know who you are married to. My wife knows when to come in and when to stop at the door. Depending on the facial, the fishy, like we say in medicine. Am I communicating at all? You know the likes and the dislikes. You know the where to, the triggers to pull to set that person aflame positively. Understand who you are married to. Number 2, lubricate your relationship with communication. Communication, all forms of communication, verbal, non-verbal, reassuring communications. There are many times. Can you come, Dr. Mrs. Enenche? Dr. Mrs. Me. There are many times I am not in the mood to talk. Maybe I'm praying or waiting. Sit down. But and just a pat on the back. We are together. Everything is correct. No challenge. As busy as I am, we could talk on phone how many times a day? Text messages, berekete. Do you have that text message that I sent to her? Just thinking of you and how much of a gift you are to my life and ministry. Also, the authenticity of your Christianity. I saw that passion about 26 years ago and asked you to pray in the Spirit for 1 hour. That fervor is still there. Well done. Keep it up. I love you and I am there for you. Becky. As spiritual as I am. No. I am there for you. You have any challenge, let me know. You need prayer, I will pray for you. How do you think she will feel? You think that text will delete from that phone? What will delete it? Every relationship is service with. If you like, be anointed. Your wife will back out of your house now, despite the anointing. Whenever she gets tired of your ruggedity and your stonish operation, not greeting anybody because you are in prayer, and then not 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 10 days. How are you, sir? Good morning, sir. If there is any husband here, when you say to your wife, I love you, or you write this kind of thing, it's not weakness, it's strength, it's masculinity. It doesn't reduce you, it elevates you. I was reminding her of the fire I saw, and the memory is, in case the fire is trying to drop, remember that I still remember the fire. Lubricate your relationship. Number three, grow together. Grow together. Grow together. Pray together. Study together. Fast together. Grow together. It is a form of bonding. Grow together, pray together, study together, fast together. Many times I am on a journey. I don't want to tell you how many journeys I have been, but I'm waiting on the Lord more than 7 days, no food. And she said, I go with you. And she took the journey. We saw scriptures together. We'll share revelation together. We will hold hands together. We will do things together. It is a time of bonding. But when you have a man that is so spiritual and a wife that is so natural, then calamity is around the corner. Spirituality in the man and carnality in the woman equals calamity in the home. Number four, forgive liberally. Forgive. Don't keep on saying, last year you did it. 3 years ago you did it. 15 years ago. In fact, it was exactly 1st of March, 1985. Around 2 p.m. in the afternoon, you said the same thing. What kind of negative computer is that? Computer brain that is negativistic. Liberally, Ruth Bell Graham, the wife of Billy Graham, said, husband and wife are two people that have agreed to forgive each other for life. For life. You married to forgive. Are you ready for number five? Pull up this scripture, Genesis chapter 26, verse 8. And it came to pass, when he had been a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. How many of you know that Isaac was the only one on that line with no marital problem? Abraham had Hagar and gave birth to Ishmael, and then Sarah. Jacob married two of his house girls in addition to two sisters, four together. Isaac was the only one married to one wife till death do us part. See what he was doing? Sporting with his wife. Playing. What is sport? Play. No, how did they play? What is the counsel? Play together. What did I say? Take your seat. What is the meaning of play? It's not the one that the world think about all the time. There are times I will come to my office. From the office I will come home. My wife is seated there. I will tiptoe like this. You won't believe it. This spiritual guy, there are things I just tiptoe like that. Block her eye from the back. Who? You! There are times we are pursuing each other in the house. It is this guy I'm talking about. One day somebody was in my car with me and my wife, and my wife was laughing and laughing and laughing. He said, is this how you make your wife to laugh all the time? I said, that is normal. There are some men that have zero sense of humor. They can't laugh and they can't make anybody laugh. Moving about like mobile disaster. When they arrive, all the children have to take cover. The lion of the tribe of the family has just arrived. Stand up on your feet. My wife don't take cover, neither my children. They rush at me. We can't count the number of hugs per day. Inject that sense of humor. Some text messages will make us to be laughing and laughing. Last in the evening, she sent me a very funny picture of two children, one black boy, one white boy. The white boy told the black boy, said, did you stay too long in the womb until you got burnt? The black boy said, no, just 9 months. What about you? Were you delivered raw? You were not. Such kind of things. You inject it, inject. Life is too short to live with tension. Enjoy it, don't endure it. Make up your mind to enjoy your life. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your wife. Enjoy your husband. Enjoy your children.
Be the best thing that ever happened to your wife. And be the best thing that ever happened to your husband. Be the best thing that ever happened to your children. Let them thank God endlessly that you are their father. Be a pleasant personality to hang around.
Ephesians chapter 5, I'll read from verse 20. It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are the members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her own husband. Interestingly, this was the theme of our wedding. 20 years ago, when we wedded, what we had as our toast at the back of our wedding invitation card was taken from this passage. Very quickly, what is the first thing I'd like to share with you? Number one, marry your friend. If you are not already married, I'd like to encourage you to marry your friend. I've discovered in life that so many people have friends, platonic, normal, everyday friends. They crack the same jokes. They understand the same things. They think alike. They walk alike. They like the same kind of things. They generally are together in one assignment or the other. Maybe in one fellowship or in one department in church or in one assignment or the other. Maybe in the same office. Maybe in the same parastatal. Maybe something that generally joins them together. Maybe around the same home church area or something. But then when they start thinking of marriage, I cannot seem to understand why such a man or such a young woman now begins to look outside. It's as if this person is too close to be a wife, or this person is too much of a friend to be a husband. But that's where the problem starts for many people. You don't leave a friend and go and marry a stranger and expect the stranger to be able to understand you and walk with you the way you walk with your friend. If there's anybody already married and you discover that you have married a stranger, you are not married to your friend, I'll pray for you today that God will help you to become friends in the name of Jesus Christ. Because of a truth, there is so much more to marriage than meets the eye. It's an intricate relationship that, you know, it encompasses everything about your life. You can't say that you are married and your husband or your wife, only you relate with him or her, only as far as this matter or this matter and this matter is concerned, but as far as these other areas of your life is concerned, your husband or your wife has nothing to do with it. It cannot work like that. It's a totalitarian setup. It's a setup where everything about you is everything about your husband or your wife. The two of you should be one. And I declare today, under the unction that has been at work in this commission, and what has helped us all this while, that every man and every woman here shall become closer friends in their marriage in the name of Jesus. And I declare today, those that are yet to marry, you shall not make a mistake of marrying a stranger in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So young man, stop looking at Sokoto and looking far. Why? What you are looking for is right here in your Sokoto. It's right here, right around you. And you are looking far. Tell your neighbor, don't look too far. Let your wife, or if it's a man, let your husband, let your wife, let your husband be your closest friend. Hallelujah. Daddy and I are friends. That's just the fact. I think we are more friends than husband and wife or anything else. We are friends. We are brother and sister. We are husband and wife. He's my daddy. And I mommy him. Hallelujah. Is anybody listening to what I'm saying? It's a total package. I prophesy a total package for your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Number two thing I'll just say here is, when you step into marriage, determine that you are stepping into it for good. Unfortunately, I come across people so many times who enter into marriage, and they enter into marriage with a mindset of, if it doesn't work, I can look somewhere else. So number two point, when you are stepping into marriage, never consider option two. Never think of option two. Some young ladies come to me and say, hey, the way this thing is going, I mean, I'll just leave this marriage, or I will just go. Hey, wait it. No, it doesn't work like that. If you have an alternative, you will never be able to apply your heart and your mind, your energy, and everything it takes to make option one work. There are men that they are stepping into the marriage. Marriage is starting, and they think, well, if this girl doesn't work, I'll look for another one. No! Until your mind is made up that this is a journey of no return, you will never be able to give your all and your best into that relationship. Make up your mind about it. And that's why we always say that the time to be most selfish is before the marriage. Before you get married, be as selfish as you want. Think about yourself. Consider yourself. Am I okay with this husband? Am I okay with this wife? Is this the best thing I want? Will this person meet my needs? Is this person who I can present in public, present outside? Make sure you have answered all those questions for yourself in the affirmative before you enter. Because after the marriage, yourself becomes number two in your mindset. Please take your seat. After the marriage, your partner is your number one consideration. How do I take care of my wife? How do I ensure that everything is in order for my children? How do I take care of my husband? How do I ensure everything is in order for my husband? You become number two in your considerations, in your applications, in your attitude. But before the marriage, you can consider yourself 100%. Because after that, you have majorly focus on your spouse. Please take your seat. Praise the Lord. The third thing I'll share with us, number three, is as the woman, you must agree to be in submission to your own husband. That passage we read is, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Unfortunately, so many women are submissive to many other people's husbands except their own. A woman is submissive to her doctor, true or false? If the doctor says, take Panadol 3 times a day for 3 days, she will obey it religiously, true or false? Muslims, when they enter the doctor's consultation room, they are very respectful. Good morning, sir. Very greet, very well. That is somebody else's husband. But this woman is being submissive and obedient and respectful to him. A woman respects her lawyer, her banker, her pastor. It amazes me, some women come into church, they are standing with their husband, and they are greeting the pastor on their knees. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Everything, sir. And then 2 minutes later, they turn to their husband and say, yes, Jack, as I was saying, with their hand akimbo. We see it all the time. You are standing, and somebody is talking to her husband, and hands are akimbo. Talking down at him, talking anyhow she wants to talk. And then 2 seconds later, she turns to her pastor. And absolute submission, respect, humility. That scripture, what does it say? Should we read it again together? Wives, do what? To your own husbands in all things. Your own husband. So the primary submission point of every woman is to her own husband. Let that be a mind that you have in you. As far as my husband is concerned, he has number one say in my life. If he says go, you go. If he says come, you come. You don't take major actions or decisions without the consent of your husband, without the permission of your husband, without asking him, what do you think and what do you say? Oh yes, I know that there are, how do I call it? Not abnormal. There are other conditions, varieties, conditions where maybe the man is not born again or the man is from another religion or some such things, and maybe some of the instructions might be contrary to what the scriptures have to say. Inasmuch as you must obey God, you might have to insist that your obedience to God is communicated appropriately to this person who does not otherwise understand. But your number one loyalty as far as submission and respect is to your own husband. Never live a life that is above your husband. If you are getting married to somebody, analyze that person. In 40 years time, in 20 years time, in 60 years time, if Jesus tarries to come, will I still be able to respect this man and submit myself to this man and be humble and stay under and consider myself as number two position to this man? If you cannot, then don't try that marriage in the first place. And if you can affirmatively answer, then you make sure that you live your life in accordance to that. And the Lord shall help us in the name of Jesus. And number four point is, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, your love for your wife is an unconditional love. Your love for your wife is a love that is not it's not because she's a good girl today, I will love her today, and when she's not a very good girl tomorrow, I won't love her. No, it is an unconditional love. Jesus didn't love us because we deserve to be loved. He loved us because he loved us. That is how a husband's love should be to his wife. Even when she has made mistakes, shortcomings, let your love be intact and to ensure that a woman knows you love her, you have to say it. And you have to show it. You have to say it and you have to show it. It's a double S that must be fulfilled in your husband, in your wife's life. You must say it and you must show it. A woman cannot, she's not, please see, women, it can easily sense and feel things. But when it comes to husband love me or not love me, they need to hear it. And they need to experience it. The other day, somebody was, the wife sent him an assignment. And he delivered the assignment. And I said, I hope you pay your wife. No, I hope your wife will pay you for helping her do her official work. So, the man says, she pays very well. I said, I know what you, this man, you are thinking now. It's not that kind of pay. Pay her with cash. He said, no, she pays well. I said, it's not just that pay. For women, that pay is not sufficient. Pay her with cash. It was a joke, but I guess he got the meaning. Please sit down. Let your wife know that you love her. I have told men, normally when I have the opportunity to preach at weddings or something, I say to the man, your marriage is starting today. From today, place your wife on an allowance. If your salary is 5,000, the whole month is only 5,000 that enters your hand. Make sure something out of that 5,000 is assigned to your wife, not the family feeding money. Wifely allowance I'm talking about is not the family feeding money. It's not house maintenance money. It's not the money for children's school fees. It is a certain money that you say, madam, this is from me to you. This is what? From me to you. Now, let me tell you something. Even if a woman, maybe she works in what? NFPC or Chevron. Call somewhere. Central Bank. Somewhere that pays very well, okay? Supposing she works there and maybe she earns a salary of 200,000 a month. And the man works somewhere else. Maybe he's a civil servant somewhere. Maybe, why are you calling teacher? Teacher is not a bad profession. Level 8. Whatever. Maybe he's working somewhere and his take-home pay at the end of the month is 50,000. Remember, this woman is earning how much? 200,000. Okay? Out of the man's 50,000, he must make sure that he removes an amount out of it and give to this wife. Believe it or not, some of you, if you start it this month, you will see a change in your marriage. Oh. Can you see the way the women are screaming? If you start it this month, there will be a change in your marriage. It's a prophecy. Receive it now. The women are receiving it. The men don't want to answer me. Praise the Lord. Why do I say so? The truth of the matter is, most women, any money that enters their hands, earns house, isn't it? Women, is that true or not? Any money a normal, sensible, sane woman, normal, the sensible one, any money that enters her hands, if the husband has given her money for food for the house and all, but when she enters the market, since she has money with her, she will use it and add to the food stuff. She is grateful for what the husband gave, but she is excited to do it. They do it when you don't demand it from them. But when it becomes a compulsory thing, then a woman's natural reaction is a reaction of discomfort. So that woman collecting that 200,000 is using the 200,000 for the household. But this 5,000 or 2,000 that the husband will give her out of his 50,000 is worth more than 100 million in her eyes. Women, true or false? Stand up on your feet.